I wanted to make sure we heard the entire story, and it can be a challenge, especially in the New Testament when you have basically Noah's story starting from 525, Genesis 525, where it gives the account of Methuselah, and then Lamech, and then Noah, and then it goes all the way through chapter 9. And so, anyway, I thought that was one way for us to hear this account that God has given us of this worldwide flood that he took the life of every person on this earth. A catastrophe. He took the life of every person on this earth except for 8 people he had in this amazing ship that Noah built, which took 120 years to build. Let's pray. Father, we one more time this morning ask you to speak to our hearts. We have your holy word of truth. How we praise you for that. Help us to be bowed before you that we might hear the voice of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, believers believe. That's what we do. Just like on the Geico commercial, what do moms do? They call at the most inopportune times. So, there were a couple others. There's one with a parrot. And if you've seen that one, and the captain of the ship, and they're getting ready to put to the sword this one guy, and then the parrot starts saying things about what the captain had said about the crew, about how they smelled, etc. And then he's in big trouble, but it said, parrots repeat things. That's what they do. Well, I want us to understand that as believers, this is what we do. We believe. Believers believe. It's what we do. Some form of the word believe is found 217 times in the English Standard Version in the New Testament alone. So I would ask, do you believe the Bible's account of Noah and the flood? I don't mean do you kind of believe. I mean, do you believe that when your God tells you in his book, the Bible, that he wiped out the entire population of the globe with a worldwide flood, saving only 8 souls, do you believe? Why is this important? Because believers believe. That's what we do. We believe God from beginning to end, from creation to the final revealing of Jesus Christ. Believing is the agent by which God transforms our lives, where we understand and live in a world where we are God's creation and our God reigns as creator, redeemer, and sovereign Lord. Kind of believing does not yield that result, because kind of believing yields to kind of being transformed, which is really no transformation at all. We believe God. God's word, God's spirit transforms our life. But our faith is not a blind faith. We have good reason to believe our God. First and foremost, we intimately know the person we trust. We intimately know the person we trust. And this is sometimes the problem a person has. Well, how could I believe that? Because you don't know your God. Sometimes we account for the people that deny God. And we say, well, they don't know God. No wonder they don't believe him. But sometimes it is a believer, someone who has genuinely looked to God, to Jesus Christ for salvation, has received his gift of life, but they don't really know him. Now, why might that be? Because they don't walk with him day by day and moment by moment. They don't obey his words. They don't have this dynamic going on of them believing, of being transformed by the renewing of their minds. See, this isn't just about knowing abstract truth and details and intellectual arguments. This is about a God who, yes, he is creator and redeemer. He's God Most High. He's sovereign Lord. But he loves you. Where do we get our idea of love? What is love? Is there anything more personal than love? God wants to personally, intimately know you and for us to know him. And it's like someone you hold in very high esteem, a father or a brother or your wife or your husband. And they say something you may not understand, but you know that person. And that is why some people struggle so much whether it is believing that there's a worldwide flood or whether it's believing that sometimes we need to make sure God is the one controlling our tongue or God is the one speaking to our hearts about our lifestyle. But we don't listen to that God as often as we should because we don't know Him as we should know Him. And in that, we don't live that abundant life that Jesus speaks to us about. So first and foremost, that we intimately know the person we trust. We trust in Him and in His words. Second, we know that He is true and what He says is true because it is plain and clearly perceived in the world around us. We're going to look at more of this in a little bit, but I take these words right out of Romans 1. The what we see is plain, that there is a God, there is a Creator. This didn't just come together. And as unbelievable in our human minds as a worldwide flood and all the things that we come up with in our minds, but we believe God. When we believe God, then, we take the right approach to the evidence that we're given. Then we understand even more. We believe what He says is true. It's plain and clearly perceived in the world around us. We have evidence to support our belief system because we have a written, accurate account. You may know it as the Bible. From the only eyewitness, what we observe fits this written account because the written account is true. Does that make sense to you? What we observe, what we see in our lives, in the lives of the people around us, in our world, it rings true to the written account because the written account is true. This is ultimate reality. So we ask, do you believe the Bible's account of a literal worldwide flood? Yes. Do we believe blindly? No, we have many evidences. I thought we saw an excellent video this morning. We saw part of a video. A scientist, a man who believes in God, who believes in His holy, authoritative word, and he takes that knowledge that there is a God, there is a supernatural realm, and that is how he approaches the evidence. And he's a PhD, Massachusetts Institute of Technology trained, has taught, got all kinds of credentials behind him. Those don't matter so much except for just saying that you go through all of that and he says, this is how I will then look, this is my lens in how I will perceive the evidence. So we have many evidences, but the evidences are not what we trust. We trust God and His Word because we know God. We have intimate relationship with Lord God on high. Believers believe. First, we believe because we listen to God, and God is absolute truth. Do you listen to God? I didn't ask you if you read your Bible. That's good too, but do you, when you read your Bible, do you listen to God? Does God speak to your heart? Is the Holy Spirit teaching you? God is absolute truth. John 1:4 says, in Him was life, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Word. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:9 says, the true light, again speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 14:5-6, a text that we're even more familiar with. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Now we look at that text, rightly so, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but it's it's much more than that. The way. The way starts here on this earth. When you go through the narrow gate, when you trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, then the first step of your life, then, you are on the narrow way. You are on the path of Jesus, Son of God. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way? How can we know how we live life? How can we know how we perceive this world? Because you walk on the way. You walk on the path of Jesus Christ. And on that path of Jesus Christ, because I think I've got a question. Yeah, right on the front, can I believe in science and God? Of course you can. You just don't step off of the path of God to look at the evidence. I had one graphic I was going to use. Everything doesn't make the cut. And it showed this giant with a megaphone. Actually, this one had a magnifying glass, but I was going the megaphone. And this is naturalism. This is a majority voice. By the way, the majority voice is not in our world, is not the true voice. The secularism, the humanism, the naturalism, the human wisdom, and the giant with the megaphone. And it's telling us this is the way it is. But who are we listening to? Are we intimidated by all the voices of this world? Are we intimidated by the voices from our universities? Are we intimidated by the voices coming from media? Or are we walking and we are strong and courageous on the path of Jesus, Son of God, because we are close to that God? That God gives us constant assurance and direction in our lives, and we interpret the world by what that God is telling us. And we have a good example of that last week when we concluded with John 14:27, and Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." You don't hear that if you're not believing God as you should, if you're not obeying His truth, how we live, how we speak, how we process information. Are we hearing our God? Because when we tune God out on these other things and we say, "Well, I'm going to do this the way I'm going to do it, and I'm a believer," then when we do that, then when the world voice threatens and the chaos and the tumult and that, then you won't hear, or you won't hear it nearly as welcoming, as assuring as you should. Jesus saying, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give to you." That's the person, the intimate relationship. It doesn't matter the storm and the howling of the wind of this world. You hear the voice of God above everything on this path of God. 1 John 1:5. We believe because God is ultimate truth. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. This is revealed in the very end of things when everything is culminated, the revealing of Jesus, Son of God, and heaven and the whole picture of glory there, Revelation 22:4-5, they will see His face, our God. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no night, no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. God is ultimate truth. God, our God, is ultimate truth. Reality. He is light. He is life. His presence will light everything up one day. We won't need this sun out here. Thankful that we have the sun. We're a lot warmer and we can see our way around, but we won't need that one day. Secondly, this morning, since we listen to God and believe Him, our minds and hearts are not limited by human constraints as we study science. Now, so many of us, these are givens, but not to everyone. Part of that is because I introduced the Sunday school class to a man named Walt Brown, and he put the question, it's like, "Well, did you pursue your study of the origins from a scientific point of view out of curiosity?" And it's like, "No, not out of curiosity. This is work, man." He didn't say work, man, but that's what he meant. I was helping him along a little bit. But that's exactly what he said, and he said it in greater detail, and he said it much better than I just said it. This is work. And if you did hear that video in Sunday school, that man telling us, this is very involved, but it's very solid. Yes, you can be a scientist, you can pursue science, and you do not have to leave your faith. What you can't do is limit yourself to the realm of naturalism, and then where you step off the path. Now, what we don't do either, and again, we'll look at the scoffers scoff. We looked at that last week, scoffers scoff. One of the reasons, and the main reason, really, scoffers scoff is because they don't have the truth under their feet. Their foundation is not truth. In fact, if we look at it, if we look at the biblical evidence, our written account, that's, again, of course, you got to believe this. And if you believe this, and if you believe this is reality, then the written account tells us that the scoffer is not interested completely in pursuing truth within the bounds of his human wisdom, but not pursuing truth overall, but suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. That is what our written account tells us. See, this is the advantage that we have, because we do have reality. We do have a very clear, detailed, even more so. Have any of you, anyone else, and I hope I'm not the only one, but going through this Genesis study, and we just see so much more how specific. And I apologize to those of you who weren't here for Sunday school for the video, but he had talked about the year. Well, I only apologize. It's your fault you weren't in Sunday school, so I only kind of apologize. How about a half-hearted? I'm sorry you didn't hear it, but that wasn't my fault, but moving right along. But he talked about that year and that timeline. Wasn't that really interesting, that timeline? He said there's no more specific, detailed historical account in Scripture. Now, I didn't check that out, but what he said, it was very detailed. This went on here, this went on here, this happened, and this happened. That is the account that we have. It is reality. It matches reality. Our written account matches reality because it's true. Not just because we say it is. Not just because, well, we say it is, you know, or and the scoffer will say things like, oh yeah, you know, those creationists. They say this happened and this happened and boom, and then a miracle happened and then this happened. And now, did miracles happen? Yes, they did. I think wouldn't we have to call it a miracle? God just speaking it and this world coming in to form and shape, him creating this world. I've mentioned, maybe it was last Sunday evening, but I'll again promote the atheist delusion we're having next Sunday evening. Richard Dawkins, arguably foremost outspoken voice of atheism on the planet, and the audience they caught him, because what do you do when you come back? Well, this happened. Well, what happened before that? Well, what happened before that? Well, you have to get to nothing, but you can't get to nothing, can you? Because there had to be something there. What they did, and the audience actually laughed, this very distinguished, and forgive me if I shared this last Sunday morning, but it's worth repeating. This very distinguished British professor, not the one used to, foremost voice in the world, high accolades, all of this, not used to getting laughed at. But they were laughing at it, and they said, why? Well, one of them on the panel said, well, it sounds like you're trying to define nothing. You follow what I'm saying. Your belief system isn't based on truth, then you can find yourself in some pretty difficult situations. We listen to God and believe him. Our minds and hearts are not limited by human constraints as we study science. Now, if you look on the very center of your worksheet at the box, and I would have liked to have put, and the concept is there, but this middle box, naturalism. And I would have liked to have put in there human wisdom. I thought of that too late. But naturalism is a philosophical viewpoint according to which everything arises from natural properties and causes, and supernatural or spiritual explanations are excluded or discounted. The doctrine that denies a supernatural agency in the miracles and revelations recorded in the Bible and in spiritual influences. a view, particularly a philosophical and artistic one, that bases everything artistic, because naturalism in the artistic world is trying to draw things just as they are precisely, but that's apart from what we're dealing with. Everything is what can be seen, what is viewed as natural, and what is viewed as earthly. The real world as determined by humans apart from God. But here's what God says about that in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 1, reading in verse 20 in the New Living Translation. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. What's he talking about? He's talking about those who decide to live inside this box. Now here's the irony, folks. Here's what you run into when you deny that there's anything outside the box, that you come up to the place where there's more one way or the other, either before and what is to come, but you've limited yourself to the box, so you don't have an answer. So let's go back to that text. It says he has, let me find it, God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Continuing into verse 21, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. And again, we usually just take that into context of salvation, but it's more than that. It's our entire view. Yes, the main point here is our salvation, preaching the cross, but it's the whole thing of God's truth in his written account. And it says the world would never know him through human wisdom. He's not speaking of theirs. The scoffer, the agnostic, the atheist likes to say that, well, God's counting that science as wisdom. No, he's saying your human wisdom, because everybody has the same facts to go on, whether it's geology or whatever it is, radioisotopes, whatever it might be. Everybody has the same facts. In human wisdom, you say we're going to explain everything, but we can't go outside the box. We're the true scientists. What God says is, I'll show that to be foolish. We have a written account that if you're a true science, if you're truly interested in the pursuit of finding out what is going on, you can't limit yourself to that box. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation again. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. So where does this leave the... And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Even in our realm, as we communicate the word of God, that God will use our personalities, and he will get different people will communicate things in different ways. But it's not our human wisdom that counts. It's not our cleverness that counts. It's the truth that we have in this written account. Thirdly, since we believe and listen to God, then God does not oppose us. And you might think, well, duh, Dave, we know that God doesn't oppose us. Well, do you know that? And do you know the implications or the ramifications that God does not oppose us? If you'd look on your study sheets again, I've got a chart there, and it certainly is not cover all of it, because I quickly would run out of space. But it's the naturalist and the supernaturalist positions. Now, we would be the supernaturalists, the Christians, the believers in God, the believers in Jesus Christ. The naturalist would be the atheist, the agnostic, the cultist, the animist, whoever it might be, whatever false religion or false teaching or false philosophy. And I broke this down. You maybe haven't seen it in this way, but this is the way it came to my mind. And we understand the naturalist. Who is the naturalist up against? Well, that person is up against God Most High, Creator and Lord of the universe. What's the character of that God? Well, he's holy, full of grace and truth. He's a life giver. You have the documentation below, the verses below. The purpose of this God, to set free with truth, to give life, to save the lost. The lost. Pressure applied. God's wrath revealed from heaven. He opposes pride. That's what the atheist is up against. Okay, the supernaturalist and the believer, the Christian, who are we? What are we up against? The other side of the page, the opponent, the God of this world. The character of this God, he's a murderer, a liar, a father of lies, and no truth. Now let's just stop there for a second. Well, actually, let me read the verses, and then we're going to come back to that. Right below it, there in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And Revelation 12:9, the first part of the verse, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Now, what do we know then? Of those of us who believe that we would research the science, no matter which realm, natural or supernatural, who is opposing us? Well, what is his character? What should we expect? In other words, what I'm trying to say, the package, this evolutionary package that's presented to us, this false system of religion and philosophy, that package that's presented to us, what should we expect it to be full of? Anybody brave here this morning? Venture a guess? Well, what's the character of the God that's applying the pressure, our opponent? He's a liar. He's the father of lies, and there's no truth. Should we expect that? Well, it's exactly what we see, isn't it? If you think about it. When we see the scoffer scoffing, when we see the evolutionist say, well, it's got to be billions of years. You're an idiot if you don't believe anything differently. Well, have you examined the evidence? No, but you can't examine the evidence because we know that it can't be true because you're getting that stuff from the Bible, and we know that there's not a God. He's just a myth. He's just a legend in the scientific realm. That's out of bounds. That's not true science. Is that a lie or not? Are they liars or not? Can we speak plainly? It's the package that's delivered. We have to understand that. We get overwhelmed. We get in a university situation, or we hear the news, or we hear somebody very distinguished like Richard Dawkins, and we're so impressed, and we buy the package of lies. It sounds so impressive. It's human wisdom. We don't know our God well enough to realize, hey, that's opposing God's account of what happened. Now, is everything they say wrong? No, it's not. We're talking about an overview, a general principle. You're where are you going with this information? What are you trying to prove? What is your true intent? That is what we are speaking of. So we go on down to see that the purpose of this God is to suppress the truth. And you can write down Romans 1:18 and following if you want to read that again. We do that, it seems like, semi-regularly. So let's picture then that who are we opposing? It's someone who wants to suppress the truth. On the other side, who are they opposing? Someone who wants to set free by the truth and bring people to the truth. You see what a difference this makes? So when we are standing on our written account with a Noah's flood and the ark and all of it, you know, and it's mocked, and we'll see there was a week ago the Noah's flood, thinking outside the box, and we had the BBC documentary, you remember, and they were mocking, well, this wouldn't have the engineering, this was a faulty design. And the latest achievements and discoveries of the true design of the ark just eliminated all of that. Why didn't, in their research, why couldn't they have found that out? Why couldn't they have taken that step and found out the same thing that the engineers and the people working on this project with answers in Genesis found out? Why was that? This is important. Why was that? Because they said, that can't be true. It's from the Bible. That's their premise. That can't be true. It's foolishness. That's just a myth. Those people are weak. You've got to have that crutch to lean on. What are all of those things? They're lies from the father of lies. That's exactly what it is. There's no neutral in this, folks. You think there's a neutral in this, you're wrong. If you think these are detached academics, you're really wrong. You haven't been researching. You haven't been reading the comments. You haven't, the mockery, the scoffing that I've read. And it's just right there. And God says, this is what's happening. How do we know these things? Well, if you're listening, if you're just reading the Bible, you might not know it. If you're just skipping along your own merry way and you know you're living Christianity as you see fit, you might not know it. But if you're reading your Bible and you're listening to the voice of God and you're obeying these truths and you're living these words, you will have a different perspective for life. You will be much, much more open to all of the evidence. You will be more skilled in receiving the information that God gives us and the information, the scientific data, whatever that might be. The pressure applied with the enemy is fear and temptation and lust. You have more verses there. But God does not oppose us. God is for us, but God does oppose the other. The other does not match reality. We have to understand that. No, everything they say isn't wrong, but their general purpose and direction definitely is. And it is not neutral, impassive academics pursuing, oh, we're true scientists. No, they are not. If they are only going to restrict themselves to that box. Now, here's where they would be okay with that. If they could explain everything outside the box. Okay? They can't. Don't get me wrong. I saw that look you gave me. They can't, but if they could. Or Richard Dawkins sitting there instead of having people laugh at him for trying to explain nothing, if he really had a good answer there, but he doesn't, see? It's all very impressive, and if you want to believe it, you will. Because unbelievers don't believe. And they're looking for a reason. Let me just close with this. John 3:19. I gotta flip over there. I don't have it printed out. John 3:19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Noah's account, and there's so many just very, very interesting details, 120 years it took to build that ship, the dimensions that God gave Noah to make it a seaworthy vessel, construction methods that we saw a week ago, yeah, that would make that possible. Again, not that we didn't believe it, but by believing God, we were willing to explore these areas. And well, God says this, so let's explore and see how it can be true instead of saying that's stupid, it's a myth, it's a fairy tale. So how do you believe God? Do you believe God, or do you kind of believe God? Because kind of believe God didn't, not so much. And how do we know we really believe God? Do we sign on? Oh, yes, Noah and the Great Flood, I believe that. You know, really, that's kind of easy to do because, well, where's someone going to see that in your life? Oh, I believe in Noah. Oh, I believe in Jesus coming again. Or, yeah, I believe in Jesus came the first time. I believe in creation. In a sense, those things are kind of easy to sign off on because it can remain in the abstract realm. How do you know that you're a believer? Well, when you picture Jesus coming again, and that thought That reality of Jesus Christ coming again is purifying your life. That's how you know. How do you know? Because that Jesus is regulating how you speak. That Jesus is regulating how you think. That Jesus is regulating how you treat the people around you. Sometimes we want to sign off on the big abstract stuff. And oh yeah, I'm up on the virgin birth of Christ. Yep, sign me up, I believe. Deity of Christ, oh yeah, sign me up. God telling you how to talk to people, well, not so much. This is accepted behavior in my realm of Christianity, but that realm of Christianity is not acceptable in God's realm of Christianity. And that living it where the rubber meets the road, that then in the time of crisis and chaos and turmoil, that is where we hear God, our God, speak truth and strength and courage to us. That's the person that hears their God in these times of trial, the person that can face anything and everything the father of lies and his world can throw at us. Let's pray.